We sang a song about breaking the chains. Now that's the chains of our sin. Understanding that God wants us to appreciate life in Him. But our passage, all through Philippians, is Paul illustrating that I'm in chains. And I just wanted to help you understand this a little bit by a visual. Let me just give you a little highlight of where we've been in the last 4 weeks. Steve started out the passage in Philippians to really give us a heart of what it means to Paul to have relationship with the church at Philippi. He absolutely loved them, and they loved him. And, you know, I started thinking about that. It's amazing how God has used some 40 writers of the Old and New Testament to bring us divine writings. And certainly, as Peter says, the Holy Spirit comes along to Paul and the others and carries them along so they can begin to write these things down. But if you visualize it, here's Paul, hasn't seen the Philippian church in 4 years, and he's in Rome in prison, in a house prison, and he's chained, if you remember, to the elite soldiers of Caesar's 24/7. And getting to Rome was a horrendous shipwreck. So even that experience God is using in his life and even in Paul's personality to write the letter to Philippians for us to understand. So he has a great ability to sit and reflect, pray, and God begins to move in his heart to write this letter while he's in chains. And he uses the chains as an example that I'm chained as a prisoner for Christ Jesus. And then I shared the next week with you that as we have an understanding, you and I and Paul, that everything that comes into our lives, God will use for good. If you and I have our lives set on living for the gospel, we can have a joy that can't be stolen because God's going to see to it that when you and I live for Him, He works everything out for good. And we're going to talk about that even in the slightest minor ways that could be possible. Then we moved on to chapter 2 last week. And Christo shared with us just powerfully the humbleness of our Savior. And what an example that is for us. The passage that I'm going to deal with today kind of flips back to some of what Christo shared last week, and I'm going to do that with you. If you want to follow along in your Bibles or you can follow on the screen, we're going to go to Philippians 2, 19 to the end of the chapter. I'm going to read it along and I'm going to share some things out of it as we go. So, let's read this first portion that Paul is telling the Philippians about this guy, Timothy. Then we're going to learn a little bit about Epaphroditus. Paul's writing and saying, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may also be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him. What a powerful statement to say about a partner serving with him in the Lord and for the gospel's sake. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interest, not those of Jesus. Okay, are we moving? You know what? It's upside down. Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I myself am confident in the Lord that I myself will see you soon as well. I'm going to leave it right there. Let me go back and read a passage in Philippians 2. This is a direct context with what Paul's writing about Timothy. You don't need to turn there. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility. There's the two things we don't want to do. Here's what we want to do. And Christo talked about the humility of Christ, and what a great example. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Now, it's one thing for us to hear these precepts, these commands, these statutes, the high and lofty position that God wants us to live out. It's another thing to live them out. And Timothy is living them out. It's neat to see here in this first passage that we talked about. And we have to give it time to go back. All right, I'll read it to you. It says this: I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. It's kind of linked together. Timothy is looking out for the welfare of Jesus Christ, and by doing that, he's looking out for the welfare of Philippi, the church at Philippi. That's how you and I have to see it. If you and I are living for Jesus Christ, we want to look out for the welfare of others. And I know, Hope Community Church is in a crossroad where we have a great opportunity as we go forward and looking for a new lead pastor to come part of us and serve here, so that we want to have the attitude that the scriptures talk about. Let me define some of the words here that God's talking about. Paul encourages the church of Philippi not to be selfish. Selfishness, it's the desire to put oneself forward. I've talked to you about me on the road driving, and God's doing a work in my heart. But when you're driving, those guys come up the shoulder. Anybody have somebody come up the shoulder on you? And they cut in. Here's what God's working on my heart. Go right ahead. But that's an epitome of someone who's selfish, trying to get themselves forward. I want to ask myself, why do you think you can go ahead of me or others? Sometimes it's 10, 20 cars they go ahead. That's the epitome of selfishness. This was very interesting. The word selfishness in the Greek in the New Testament was a word that was used prior to the New Testament church, even before Christ came on the scenes. Aristotle was using it so much in his day, and here's what he used it as. Selfishness denotes a self-seeking pursuit of political office by unfair means. Does that sound familiar? We're watching that. Selfishness, it's about me. It's not about others. Wow. Empty conceit. Vainglory. Self-esteem. Empty pride. vain opinion of myself. Let me read you James. He builds on this theme. And you don't have to turn to it. Just listen closely. There's another writer reinforcing what Paul's trying to teach those at Philippi. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambitions in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it's earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. Wow, selfishness. Ah, we're all selfish, it's not a big deal. It's of the devil. Listen to what this says. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder of every practice. I thought about this here for us at Hope. If we can learn to put others higher than ourselves, we will avoid disorder in this church. Now, I want to say here at Hope, many, many people here serve others. But as First Philippians said, we want to grow in that. Serving others is in the root of love. And Steve taught us that we're to grow more and more in love. Now, here's a powerful example of that. Many of you may not know, and maybe you weren't here, when Steve did the classic bedhead sermon. I don't know if you remember that, from James. But here was his passage. Don't only listen to the word of God, but put it into practice. For those who hear it and don't put it into practice are like those who look in the mirror. And Steve's illustration was, I get up in the morning, I ain't looking too good. But he does something about it. Takes care of his head. There's times when Wayne and I wake up and our hairs are going every which way. You see that in your life. And the analogy is this. Don't just hear the words. Every sermon that's preached from up front here, listen to it. Evaluate it. If God's saying, I don't want you to be selfish, Lord, am I being selfish? Expose that. I don't want to be selfish. We want to be a church that hears these precepts and say, Lord, help me to be a man and a woman that is unselfish, not conceited, always thinking of others. The flip side, and just a note building upon what Christo talked about, humility. Having a humble opinion of oneself. Listen to this. A deep sense of one's moral littleness. Apart from God, I'm filthy rags. But with Christ, I can let his righteousness soar. Powerful. And Timothy was that guy. You and I want to be that guy, that person, where we not only look out for the interest of others, but recognize it's for the interest of Jesus Christ. Matthew 25:40 says this, Jesus speaking, if you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've what? Done it unto me. That's the mindset we need to have. As small as a thing that you could do for somebody, if you do it to love them and do it for Jesus' sake, who knows what God can do? For instance, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Not a lot when it comes to feeding 5,000. But God did a miracle and used it immensely. Do not minimize what you can do for others. You have no idea, and I don't, how God can use that in a life. Good example, a couple weeks ago, we had a financial insurance guy at our house. Seemed like a nice guy. As he walks in the door, I know he's going to try to sell me something. Well, my heart is, how can I help him to understand what I can give away? So I'm looking for that situation. So my heart, I think, is in a good place. I'm looking to see if I can speak about Jesus. And I always have my final line with insurance people. You're trying to sell me life insurance. Do I have a policy for you for life? I didn't even have to use that. My heart was willing to speak to this guy who Jesus is to me. And it just came, it was almost like it poured out of him before I even had to open it up. He was supposed to, here was his salesman. I'll be 15 minutes at your house to show you this. We were 2 hours. And before we left, he was weeping about who Jesus is. And just became a born-again Christian, 2 weeks ago. So when we're available, we have no idea how God can use us. What a privilege it was to share with him. I was sharing a verse here and a verse there, and he says, you really know God's word. You should be a preacher. I said, that's a good idea. Oh, how wonderful it is when we serve the Lord. Let's move on. Let's learn a little bit about Epaphroditus. And this is Paul saying, I will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother. Here's another character, a co-worker, a fellow soldier. Good stuff we're hearing about Epaphroditus, who is also your messenger, because when Philippi, the church of Philippi, heard that Paul was in prison, they sent one of their good guys, Epaphroditus, to Rome to minister to Paul. That's how the church should work. He's a co-worker and a fellow soldier who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. When I was reading this, I couldn't help but think, no greater love has this than a man lay down his life for his friend. On behalf of Philippi, Epaphroditus came, and to the point of he got so sick, he almost died. That's quite a character. We need to begin to think in our hearts as we serve Jesus Christ and for the sake of the gospel, am I willing to die for the gospel? We have an expression here at Hope when we do some marriage counseling. We ask the people, usually it's the guy, are you willing to die for your wife? Oh, yes, I am. I'll take a bullet for her. Wonderful. Yes, I am. So we say this. Then why not are you willing to live for her? Because that's part of the trouble. They're selfish. Not always the husband. It works the other way too. But 9 times out of 10, you have a couple that are having friction that are not willing to follow God's word. When you and I follow God's word, empowered by the Holy Spirit, because we can't do that apart from God's Spirit, we can have life abundant that is magnificent, because God's power will help each one of us to be unselfish and humble, looking out for the needs of others. Looking out for the needs of others. I want to share some examples of that. Well, let me put that off a little bit, and let me finish the passage here. Therefore, I am the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Now, two chapters from here, Paul's going to tell us, be anxious for nothing. So if you read this without knowing all the underlying stuff, you may think, yo, Paul, you're anxious and you're going to tell us later not to be anxious? That's why we have to study God's word. Two different words are used here. Anxiety. Here's what Paul means in this passage. Because I can send Epaphroditus back to you, I don't have to be concerned about you. I can be free of pain. That's what the word anxiety means there. Paul loves the Philippians so much that when he heard they were troubled by Epaphroditus being so sick, they were hurting, he was hurting. That's what we want to be to each other. When we hear people are hurting, we want to hurt too. And I want to give you some examples. We can ask ourselves, how can I serve them? How can I minister to them? That's a huge thing for us in the church. When we get to Philippians 4, 6, it's a different word for anxious, be nothing. It says this, be not anxious for anything. Don't be troubled with the things that you seek for or promoting your own interest. Much a different expression. Don't be worried about the things around you. God's going to take care of that. But when it comes to my anxiousness about Epaphroditus and Philippians, I'm having pain over your concern for him. So if I can send him to you, I can relieve that concern. How wonderful is that? Because he almost died for the work of Christ, he risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give. All right, we're trying to work this out. It's the last slide? Okay. It didn't go far enough. Oh, my bad. It is the last slide. So then, Paul is saying, and you can take that portion off. Paul is saying that as I send Epaphroditus back to you, he can minister life to you. And that will help me as I serve Christ and he serves Christ and we both serve you. Now, I want to try to make this as practical as I can. I'm going to give you some easy, simple illustrations to begin with. Over my married life, I have really improved in my bathroom skills. I'll give you two examples. One is, men, I'm sure you've been encouraged by women, when you use the bathroom standing up, you pick the seat up. It's a good thing, I learned that. And I put it back down. I know some guys that say, I'll put it up for her, she can put it down. Is that really serving her? Is that putting her above your needs? I don't think so. So I have learned to put it down as well. Here's another bathroom skill I've learned. Early in our marriage, my wife would ask this question to me and the kids. How come nobody wants to change the toilet paper roll when it's empty? Have you ever gone into a bathroom and it's empty? Men, there's many times I go in this bathroom and it's empty. We need to improve that. Simple things. But the thought behind it is, am I thinking of others? That's the challenge I want you and I to think about growing in. a caring place where God transforms lives. I should be constantly growing in how I care for people. And you and I can put the antennas out. We can begin to train ourselves for simple things and for some huge things. I'll give you an example that for me is huge as I watch many of you. Adoption. There are children in this church that have really been rescued to come into a family that is solid and will give them love. I don't know if you read on the email about Justice Venture just recently. They have some other great stories, but just recently they were able to save, I think it was 26 boys from slavery. So we need to pray for Jeff and Sue and their work because they're doing powerfully significant things. Here's my point. You and I have opportunity 1,000 times a day to look out for the needs of others. As corny as it is, putting new toilet paper roll back in when you use up the last, or caring for someone who can't care for themselves. I am at an age where I'm not going to adopt someone, but I can care for someone who is adopting someone. The list is unbelievable. Hebrews 10:25 says this, consider, think about how I can encourage one another and spur them on to love and good deeds. That's what the church here at Hope can be. If each one of us determines in our heart, Lord, I want to be a person like Timothy, like Epaphroditus, that serves one another. And I've said it before, this church serves, but we can grow in it. We can continue to be transformed how we care for people. And you won't believe if your mindset is it, if you put the radar out every day, you will have opportunity to care for people. One of the ways I try to do it, and money's a powerful way. Excuse me. I always have $20 in my wallet. And don't tell anybody, but I keep $20 in my truck too, in case I'm not with the truck. And I have used that because I believe God wants me to look for the needs of others, that people come by and they need a helping hand financially. Now, I'm not here to brag. I'm here to say I've learned lessons that God has cared for me beyond I would ever think. So I want to be able to have those antennas. How can I help and minister to the life of others? You can do that financially. You can do that in a myriad of ways. Prayer. Prayer is a powerful way. I have this other example. Luanne keeps cards on hand, and they're, you know, it's not happy birthday cards or get well cards. It's just a note card where we can send somebody who we believe might be hurting or needs prayer to say, hey, I'm praying for you. Luanne and I received that over through the years with Marge and Hilda, some of the older ladies that have gone to glory since then. They were prayer warriors and they were note writers. I'm not a note writer, but I can call on the phone. I can say, hey, Sue, I heard you got home from the hospital. We've been praying for you. We're so glad about that. Simple things that each of us can do if we have that mindset in our hearts. And I believe that's what God wants for us. This is not something that's simple. It's powerful. That I could minister to each one of you if I'm looking out for your needs more than my own. Does that make sense? So that my encouragement to us is, as we go on to the future and into 2017, we have no idea what's going to transpire. Many of us are very concerned, as we've talked about before, with the election. I shared my own heart. Difficult. Who do you vote for? Neither one. Well, I'll leave it at that. But I think I need to be a person who takes my privilege and asks God to help me for that. So we need to pray for each other. We need to vote. God, lead me who you would have me vote. Everything that we do, we can do for the glory of God. We can do not thinking it for ourselves, but for others. And God will use it powerfully. Even whoever gets in the White House in November or January, may I say, we need to be people that pray for them. We just did chapter 4 in Daniel on Saturday. What an encouraging verse. Nebuchadnezzar, after he spent 7 years eating grass like a wild animal, came to his senses because God gave him grace and mercy, and he said this, I now know, because he thought he was the king, I now know there is only one king of the universe, the God of heavens, and he can do whatever he wants, and he will do it. What an acknowledgement. You and I need to live that way. We are living for the king. We are living for the gospel. And we can have opportunity after opportunity to serve him. And we can only do that by recognizing his directive for us and then saying or asking, God, help me to be that person. Let me pray for us. Father, sometimes we think it's simple. We want to look out for the needs of others more than ourselves. But you know, down deep where the rubber meets the road, that's hard. I'm a selfish person. But Lord, if I can begin to let you change my heart more, and everyone here at Hope, each member, the body of Christ can do that. Father, we could be a great example to the world of what you can do in our lives. So I would ask that each one of us would meditate this week. Lord, am I thinking of others more than myself? Forgive me when I don't do that. Change me by your Holy Spirit's power, that we could be a church that just really gives the world a marvelous picture of who our Savior is. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.